Open your Bibles to Colossians, the Epistle of Paul to the Church of Colossae, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. We'll start at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, that sentence goes on, and it goes all the way down to verse 17. But we won't read those other verses, but I want you to understand, we're just going to look at some things tonight. I'm dealing with certain things with people, different issues in the church, people primarily of other people that I have opportunity to minister to, and people struggle all the time. I want you to know, you can know the Word of God, you can endeavor to live the Word of God, but at times, you're going to struggle to live in the will of God, okay? Because Christians are the only people who are double-minded, okay? We struggle with our flesh, and we desire to serve God in spirit and truth. The lost don't have that struggle. Everything for them is the flesh. They may be religious. We have dealt with some religious people who aren't saved. It makes no difference. They have the mind of the world. They may know some good things, but they can't get their own flesh out of the way. And you know what we're supposed to do? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. As Brother Don said, it's always about that love, who loved me and gave himself for me. But you notice in verse 9 of the text we just read, our opening text, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then that tells you how you're supposed to walk after that. Worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, and continues on with that. See, I want you to think about certain things with God's will. We always want God to give us his specific individual will for us, don't we? And you wonder why you don't get it sometimes. It's because you're struggling with keeping the general will of God that it is for all of us. And I say that we all struggle with that. I do. Pastor Kinney does. I don't care who it is that's saved. You will struggle with maintaining living in the general will of God. So the specific will of God sometimes then becomes kind of blurred for you. All right? So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A very simple thing. We have a lot of young people in our church. We have older people who have had to learn the hard way about this, and some people who haven't learned it yet. Okay? I'm just going to give you, we'll try to go through a few things here tonight about his will, God's will. Okay? And I want you to look at verse 14. Okay? And I watch people use this all the time to say, well, I need to separate from the world. You're in the world. Okay? The separation is supposed to be that you're not of the world. You with me? So it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you work a secular job, You're going to be with unbelievers. But God wants you to be separate from them. Okay? You can be friendly with them. You can have friends who are unbelievers. They should not be who you are with most of the time, because you know what? Even a child is known by his doings. Amen? And you can't help it. You will be affected by those that you maintain your closest times with. Okay, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, what agreement, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's a very strong word. You know, the Muslims use that. That means they're going to put you to death. Okay? An infidel. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means you've got to make choices. I'm going to give you a little hint. You witness in compassion and Christian love, but strongly and openly, and many times you won't have to worry about separating from the unbeliever. Either they will come to the Savior or they will tell you to leave. Okay, I made mistakes early on in my Christianity. I got saved. The first year I got saved, I read through my Bible once a month from cover to cover. And I was witnessing, and I've said it before. I used to be, when I wasn't saved, I used to go to Finnegan's on a Thursday afternoon with the rest of the men I worked with at Hammerhill Paper Company and cash my paycheck. And I would drink Corby's and Coke because I can't stand the taste of beer. And then I got saved. And I still went to Finnegan's, but I never drank again. I'd have Coke. And of course, I'd eat the pepperoni and cheese. That's the main reason. And we'd cash the paycheck, and then I'd come home to my bride, and I'd go started witnessing to the men in the bar, men I worked with. And they looked at me, and a man I considered like a second father looked at me, and he said, Bryant, you don't belong here, and we don't want to hear it. So if what you're saying is true and that's what you believe, you don't belong here, and we don't want you here. I don't go into bars anymore, unless it's to hand a tract to somebody at Christmas time. See, my yoke was broken by the testimony of Jesus Christ. When you won't give it, you're still going to be yoked. Okay. I was reading some things on what it means to be yoked together. And in Bible times, okay, they would take and do measurements of the oxen. And they'd make one side of the yoke specifically for that oxen, and the other side of the yoke for another oxen. And they would pair them together. And it was form fitted to their sides. Okay. And they didn't yoke together oxen and horses. And didn't yoke together horses and camels. Do you understand? I don't think you want to do too much plowing with a camel anyways. All right? But they didn't do that. But they would make the yoke to fit so that they could work together. And it wouldn't rub the hide off of the oxen or the horses. It wouldn't make them hurt and be sore. Okay? When it doesn't fit, you know what happens? Injury can take place. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You can love them, but if you're witnessing to them, don't be yoked to them. And don't tell me you love them if you're not witnessing to them. It's God's will. That's God's will for me. It's God's will for every one of you sitting in here to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not a preacher's will. That's a Christian's will. We all know somebody who's had heartbreak in their life when that hasn't been done properly, don't we? So remember it. Remember it, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's going to rub you raw. It'll rub you raw. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. I just love the phrases the way the Apostle Paul uses the Holy Spirit to give us certain things in our King James Bible. Amen. He says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us, see his will? He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? See, he's chosen you, his will, once you've chosen, is that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Many times adopted children struggle because they want the love of the natural parent who didn't keep them. And they can't understand that part, and they don't rest in the love of the one who made them part of their family by choice. And it says here, having predestinated us unto the what? The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's God's will that we be adopted into his family. We're not only born again by the Spirit into God's family, we are legally adopted into his family. There's special rights for adopted children that a natural born child in a family does not have. And what does it say in verse 6? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath what? Made us accepted in the beloved. That's God's will. You're accepted in the beloved. I'm working on a message just on the word beloved. Because that's not the same. Beloved is not the same as I love you. Okay, it's a greater intimacy involved in that. And he says we have a greater intimacy in the love of Christ than the world can understand. Right? We sing that hymn, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Okay? You can rest in that love. When the world is turmoil around you, when it seems like the foundations are crumbling, when you want to complain about America, go where Pastor Kenny is. Go across the Great Lakes. I don't want to live north. I'm glad that the one we had come our way, okay, and so is Pastor Kenny, but I don't want to live up there. They're passing laws where you can't preach in the streets. You can't hand out tracts. You're committing hate crimes. That's where it's getting, that close to us, okay? But I can sit here tonight, and every child of God, the blood-bought, born-again child of God needs to know they're accepted. Maybe sometimes you don't feel accepted in a church family. You're accepted in Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure those who come to Christ know they're accepted here. Doesn't mean we have to put up with something that's going wrong. It does mean that we owe them the love that Christ gave to us. Amen? Accepted in the beloved. Man, that can, you know, that can take care of a lot of issues. Sometimes people, they get to a place where something's come into their life and they feel so guilt-ridden about it or convicted about it. And I want you to understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, we're supposed to stand fast against what? The wiles of the... Having done all, stand fast. The devil wants you to feel unloved. God doesn't care if you feel loved. He wants you to know you are loved and rest on that foundation. So his will is for you to be accepted in the beloved. Judy and I, we just had 50 years, okay, in marriage. Karen and Walter just went through the same thing about a week or two ahead of us. Married 50 years. That's a long time for someone to put up with the likes of me and Walter. Me especially, okay? But you know what the love does? Even though we might displease one another at certain times, it doesn't remove our love one for another. Do you live every day, every moment, every minute of your life pleasing God? If you can, if you are, raise your hand. Because you're a liar. Okay? But you know what? He still has you accepted where? In the beloved. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Be not unequally yoked. Know that you're, it's God's will for you to know that you're accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be what? So the will, God's will for you is to be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto who? Now look at verse 20. Isn't that amazing? We're going to come back to that, probably next week. Okay? When it says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for what? Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're not to be unwise, but we are to know what the will of the Lord is for us. You know what it is? Biblical submission. One of the things that's hard in dealing with counseling or dealing with people is they say, I know God says this, but. If you want messages on buts, Howard has multitude of messages. He loves where it says, but God. Okay? You need to realize that. When you say, but, you're saying, I'm not going to subject myself, because what is submission? That's being subject to it. Tells us, if we look farther in the text here, okay, you look at verse 21, it says, submitting to yourselves, one to another in the fear of God. Number 22, verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. I had a man tell my wife one time that she, because he was a male, she was supposed to be submission to him. And she goes, talk to my husband. Okay. Because I don't answer to you. Amen? Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is what? Subject. That's what it means to submit. You're subject. You know what they call the residents of Great Britain? Subjects to the crown. That means they come under that authority. That's what it means to be subject. That's what it means to submit. You come under that authority. Therefore, as Christ, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, that's what it says to the wives. Now, I'm not going to go too much farther, but I won't leave it there, because men are going to say, see, I had a man tell me when I read this passage, I was dealing with a disciplined situation as the pastor, Howard was one of the few people still here that was in the meeting that night. And I said, I want you to read this passage. And I had him read Ephesians chapter 5 here. And I said, what's the most important thing that it says to you? And he says, wives, be in submission to your own husbands and everything. And I said, no, what does it say to you? And he goes, he reads it and he goes, wives, be in submission to your own husbands. And I said, who are you the wife of? I says, that's written to a woman. That's not written to you. What's written to you? You know, it's much easier when a person knows that someone truly loves them, because when you love someone, as Christ loves you, you put that person before you. So it tells the wife to be subject, but the head of the home is supposed to love her as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, so it's much easier to submit when you understand your acceptance in the beloved to Jesus Christ. It's much easier to understand and to be in subject unto your husband, wife, when your husband loves you as he ought. And the greater accountability is on unto much is given, much is required. So husbands, it's going to come back on you first. Okay? So knowing God's will, it's a matter of submission to the one who is the authority over you. When you're outside of that, it'll affect your prayers. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, honoring the wife as the weaker vessel and heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Nope. You know what? I've hammered on that enough. I have three more points. We're going to finish up God's will the next Wednesday I get to preach. Okay? So tonight, be not unequally yoked. Understand God's will is for you to know that you're accepted in the beloved, and that you can know God's will for your life, and it's tied to being subject unto Him. And it affects every area of our other relationships. If our submission to Christ and His word is right, then our marriages will be healthy. Our children will be healthy. Our homes will be healthy. And the world will see something that's different than what they see in their own lives. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.